We're going to get into a new series this morning. It's a three-week series called Like a Tree. And as we do, if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word, we're going to read one verse of Scripture, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. We will be in the first few verses there following, as well as other texts throughout the message this morning. Let us read. Colossians 2, 6 says this, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for this opportunity to come to hear from You, Lord, to gather as Your people, to worship You, Lord, to learn from Your Word, and to celebrate Your great truths, Lord. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, Lord. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see and heart to believe. Lord, convict us if we need to be convicted today. Encourage us if we need to be encouraged. Strengthen, Lord, where we may be weak. And so, Father, speak. Lord, of all the people in the house today, I understand the judgment of my life and rightly dividing Your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, and in His name that I preach. Amen. All right. As you're seated, like I said, we're in this new series called Like a Tree. And so if you would want to title the first message in this series, it would be Deep Roots, Deep Roots. So we're going to look at how we have deep roots and what that looks like and what that means. And so in Colossians 2, verse 6, if we revisit that verse, it says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." So He's given us something to do. As you have received Christ Jesus, walk in Him. Well, how have we received Him? Well, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved." Grace. So as you have received Him, walk in Him, he says. So we must begin with grace. And the thing that I want you to know this morning is that grace is rooted in Jesus. Grace is rooted in Jesus by grace through faith, that we have been saved, and that salvation is a gift from God that is realized through Jesus. Amen. So those of us who are Christians this morning, we're not Christians because we were just so much smarter than everyone else or better than anyone else. No, we have received the grace of God. We realized that we were a sinner, that we needed a Savior, and that we trusted in Jesus and called upon His name, and He saved us by grace. You have been saved through faith, which brings us to verse 7. Notice what he says. "Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." Let's go back to the beginning of verse 7. Having been firmly rooted. Note that. Note the tense of this. Having been firmly rooted. Rooted. That is something that has happened to you. It's an already established fact. Having been firmly rooted. What's that saying? "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God." And so when we call upon the name of Jesus and we say, "Lord, save me from my sin. I believe You died for my sin, rose again. Come into my life and save me." What the Bible says is that we have been saved then. How? By God's grace through faith, and we have been rooted. We have been rooted in Him. So if you're a believer, you are rooted in Jesus. That's the deepest that you can go. You are rooted in Christ, and you build your life upon Him. So the Lord Jesus, He is the depth of our faith. He's as deep as you can get. Right? You can't get any deeper than that. You know, you hear some people talk and they're like, "Well, these new believers, they just need to grow deeper. Just need to grow deeper," right? Have you heard that? I've had people complain and say, "Yeah, well, we're, you know, growing wider, but not deeper. You know, we just need to get deep. And the same people who say that, you know, talk about the church on social media, mistreat people inside the church, and act crazy. And I'm thinking, if that's deep, I don't want it. If deep is me saying, everyone else needs to be deep like me, because I can pronounce a lot of theological words and know a lot of scripture and quote it out, but yet bash and trash the church and those who lead the church and people in the church, you can have your deep. You know, I'll stay in the shallow end with Jesus then. I guess if Jesus is shallow and that's deep, you stay there in the deep. No, here's what I want you to know, that Jesus is at the very core of the depth of our faith. It gets no deeper than him. The Bible is a book that is about the redemption of humanity. It's about a God who loves his creation and that he had a mission to redeem humanity. So the Bible is a book that reveals God the Father who loves the world, that he had a mission and he sent his son Jesus to die for the lost. And so the Father sends the Son on the mission, and the Son accomplishes that mission, and then the Holy Spirit applies the results of that mission. So the Father sends the Son obeys the Father, Jesus accomplishes on the cross and the resurrection salvation for all who will call upon his name. And when you call upon the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit seals you until the day of redemption. It gets no deeper than that. The whole Bible is about that. And so when we read the Bible and we study the Bible and we grow, we build upon the foundation of that faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so when we read the Bible and study the Bible, it ought to help us to love Jesus more, follow him closer, love his church better, love one another better, love the lost, share the gospel, be about his kingdom, be obedient unto him, die to ourselves so that we can live for him. Maturity in our faith and growth in our faith is only rooted in the person of Jesus Christ. He's the root. He's the depth. He's the height. He's the width. It's about him. So our faith is rooted in him, and our faithfulness is rooted in him. And our obedience needs to be determined, not if we can answer Bible trivia. Amen? Right? I mean, John Turpin, he turned an old man. I don't know if he can hear me or not. I don't know if his hearing aid's up. He turned 40, right? You know, and you're like, 40 ain't that old. And I agree, it's not that old. I've ventured in that world, and we're doing Bible trivia games, and Duel, I'm glad that we couldn't answer the non-essentials, aren't you? Because every Bible question that was asked that wasn't relevant, we couldn't answer. But the ones that did matter, we knew. Amen? Now, some people say, well, you're just saying that because you didn't know them. Now, some of them are legitimately non-essential, you know, like what's the biggest book of the New Testament, or shortest book, whatever. I don't know. I don't study the Bible to count the words in a book, do you? I want to know who Jesus is. How I can follow him, serve him, love him. That's what it's about. See to it, verse 8, that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Notice what he's warning us from. Beware, be very cautious about people who move you away from Christ, whether through philosophy or education, through religions, anything that moves you away from Christ, you need to be on guard because that is not of faith. Mormonism is not a Christian faith. Mormons do not believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let me help you. Any religion or teaching that has another book that's on the same level as the Bible is not a Christian faith. Okay? Jehovah's Witnesses. They deny the deity of Christ. They do not believe or teach that Jesus is the Son of God. They believed that Jesus was a God. So they translate John 1 in their own version of the Bible. In the beginning was a God, and the Word was with a God, and the Word was a God. That's not what John says. John, in the book of John, in verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is God. They also teach that the Holy Spirit is not the personal work of God. That the Holy Spirit is an it or a force. Now, as much as I love Star Wars, and I'm glad that there's another movie coming out, I can't wait to see that, the Holy Spirit is not the force. The Holy Spirit is the personal work of God. He is personal. He convicts the world of sin. He equips the believer for discipleship and gives them gifts to glorify him. Now, can folks who are Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, can they be good people? Absolutely. I know some. Great people, friendly. But can you be nice and still be wrong? Can you be a good person and still be deceived? Any religion that moves you away from Christ, Paul says, don't listen. Be careful, because the root of our faith is in Jesus, right? Islam, it's not the same thing. Allah is not the same God that we serve. They deny that Jesus died on the cross. They actually believe it was Judas instead of Jesus that died on the cross, and they deny that Jesus is the Son of God. The whole confession of the Christian faith is that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So any faith that moves you away from Christ is not a Christian faith. Do not be deceived. This tolerance of all faiths and religions is deceptive. We're all not just worshiping the same God, calling him different names, and we're all going to get there. It's not. There is one name under heaven, the Bible says, where men must be saved. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Sincerity is not salvation. You can be sincere and sincerely wrong at the same time, right? It's not just faith. It's the object of your faith that matters. If you have faith in the wrong God, your faith will do you no good. So Jesus, either he is the Son of God or he is not. And as a Christian, we're putting all of our eggs in one basket. We're putting all the chips on the table, everything. We're all in that Jesus is who he said he was. These coexist stickers. They don't understand what all those faiths really teach. Because that crescent would love to cut the head off of the cross. Not all the same. We got to be aware. The good boy religion. Just because old Bubby was a good boy, it's not getting him in. Just because you're better than some other person doesn't mean you're going to heaven. And I hear this all the time. Well, I'll tell you what, I know so-and-so, they claim to be a Christian, and I live just as good as they do. Well, they might not go to heaven. Just because they say they're going to heaven doesn't mean they are. So if I were you, I wouldn't base my life on their life. I would line my life up with Christ, and I would say, am I as good as he? And the answer would be, absolutely not. There's only one perfect person. So I need to line up my life with Jesus. Amen? I can't go by what somebody else does. So if you think you're going to get to heaven just because you're not that bad of a person and that you're pretty good, I got news for you. It won't work. It won't work. You must come to the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that is the root of our faith. So, we have grace that's rooted in Jesus, faith that's rooted in Jesus. For in him, verse 9 says, the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. Where are we complete? In who? In him. Who's the him? Jesus. Now, if you won't be planted in Jesus, guess what? You'll be planted in yourself, or you'll be planted in man. And the Bible warns us of those who are rooted in mankind. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. It says this, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." Notice that. Cursed is the man who puts their trust in mankind and in the strength of humanity. Isn't that what we do today? I mean, though we have a government, though government's important, right? Government's important. And we ought to pray and be involved in our privileged democratic nation that we live in. We must remember that our hope is not in man. America is not our salvation. We often read the Bible through American eyes, and we read it, and we say, you know, well, God must just love America so great. I mean, we're such a wonderful nation. God loves us, and his favor's on us. Look how great we are, wonderful we are. God's going to be like President Obama was a few years back, and we're too big to fail. You remember when all the, you know, auto industry, some banks, you know, they said, you know, they're too big to fail. We got to bail them out. And so we thank God's up in heaven going, oh, mercy, America, starting to fall apart. I can't let them fall apart. I need them. Can I tell you something? God does not need America. He doesn't need America to accomplish his purpose. God is more than capable of accomplishing his purpose. God doesn't need America. America desperately needs God. It's the other way around. And so if we think that we can just keep doing what we're doing and God's going to just fix everything, we are fooled until we come to the realization that we as a nation, from our politicians to our pulpits and to our pews, we have absolutely turned our hearts away from the Lord and placed our hope in mankind. We have. We think social programs are going to fix everything. We think that if we declare a war on something, we'll conquer it. So, in 1964, January 8th, Lyndon B. Johnson, President Johnson, he declares war on poverty. That was in 1964. $15 trillion later, we have gained absolutely no ground. In fact, in 1969, just 2.8 million Americans received food stamps. Today, over 47 million Americans are dependent on the government for food stamps. How's that war going? We declared war on drugs. Remember that? Going to declare war on drugs. How's that going? We fight and stand for our rights. Well, it's my rights. We ought to have all of our rights. It's what we ought to do. We kill more babies in America than any other nation in the world. We talk about China. We say, how awful China. They have that one baby policy. They just upped it to two just here a while back, right? We think how horrendous that is. But we have the bloodshed of millions of babies on our hands. Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, did you know she was a racist? She lived back in the early 1900s and founded all this and kind of almost had like a Hitler philosophy. She believed in negative eugenics, which aims to improve humanity through getting rid of human hereditary traits thought to be negative or not worth society. So if you had a disability, well, let's sterilize you and make sure you have no kids, and let's get rid of you if we can. Let's move all this away. And the African American population comprised only 13% of the population in America. But 37% of all unwanted pregnancies through abortions. Black women are 5 times more likely than white women to have an abortion. Planned Parenthood, the largest seller of abortions and that our tax dollars go to, hopefully that will be defunded here soon after all the body parts that they're selling as well through these abortions. They locate 80% of their abortion clinics in minority neighborhoods, disproportionately targeting minorities for abortion. Since 1973, abortion has reduced the black population by 25%. I say black lives do matter, and somebody needs to be drawing attention to the thousands that we're slaying in our own nation. The most dangerous place for a black person today in America is in the womb of the mother. Among the October 10th, 2011 Times magazines, 5 things you should never buy again listed the infamous lottery ticket, otherwise known as the state-owned and operated gambling business. They exploit the state and the nation through their thousands of convenience stores, grocery chains, and gas stations that hinder my purchase of the Polar Pop. Right? You ever get behind somebody? Well, give me one of those bingo tickets. And then I love the person that says, here, you got $5. Give me whichever one you want. And they'll say, well, how about this Lucky 7 or whatever? They're like, no, not that one. $3 is lost for every $1 spent in the lottery that the state receives. There's over 10 million gambling addicts in our nation. Each one of these addicts costs the state $13,000. 90% of all lottery tickets are purchased through people below the poverty line. God never promised us something for nothing. If you want to win the lottery, you know, because some of you play the lottery, and you think that that's going to solve all your problems. Some of you really think, man, if I could just win the lottery, man, my life would be perfect. Now, I'd tithe, Pastor. I'd give the church some of that, you know. So here's how you win. You ready? Write this down. Here you go. You ready? Here's what you need to do to win the lottery. You need to purchase 70 tickets a week. I don't see anybody writing this down. write this down. This is good stuff. This is going to tell you how to win the lottery. I mean, this is what we put our hope in, don't we? Money. Because we think the money is going to solve our problems. All right, so you need to purchase 70 tickets a week for 47,000 years. And when you've done that for 47,000 years on that 70th ticket, boom, you're a winner. That's the odds of you winning the lottery. Man, heaven help us, right? Isaiah 31:1 says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. They've been rescued from Egypt. God did a miraculous miracle. He split the Red Sea. They walked on dry land. They saw God do wonders. They get themselves in a pinch, and they look back to Egypt, and they say, maybe we need to get them to help because they're mighty and powerful. Don't we look back to man for our answers? He says in verse 3, now the Egyptians, they're men and not God. And their horses are flesh and not spirit. So the Lord will stretch out his hand, and he who helps will stumble, and he who is helped will fall, and all of them will come to an end together. He said, if you trust in man, you're going to fail. Don't look to man for your provision, for your answers, for your security. Look for God. Look unto him. Depend on him. He is our deliverer. Jeremiah 17:6 says, "For he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony waste in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant." The person who trusts in man, he says, will live in a barren wasteland. No life. No stability. Just, it's like a bush. Easily destroyed. Easily gone. That's what happens when you trust in man, when you're rooted in man. Can I tell you? Not only do we need to have the grace that's rooted in Jesus and faith that's rooted in Jesus, but we need to have our trust that's rooted in Jesus. Look what Jeremiah 17:7 says. "Blessed is the man who trusts in" who? "In the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord." Blessed is that person who puts all your trust and hope and confidence in the Lord. Psalm 1:1-2 says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." The person who has their confidence and trust rooted in Jesus has their trust in Jesus. So that no matter what happens in life, doesn't matter. I trust in the Lord. No matter what comes my way, I trust in the Lord. When I look around and I hear the news and I watch the news and I see chaos breaking out and I see all of this destruction, and I don't get worried because I know that God is in control. When everything around me begins to shift, I stay strong. Why? Because I'm rooted in Jesus, because my strength is rooted in Jesus. When I trust in him, I gain great strength in him. Look what it says in Jeremiah 17:8. This describes the person whose trust is rooted in Jesus. Look, "For he will be like a tree planted by the water, that extends its roots by a stream, and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit." Man, that's a blessed life, isn't it? That no matter what happens, you're not afraid of the drought because you're rooted in Jesus. And because you're rooted in Jesus, you're by streams of water. Who is the living water? Jesus. And he nourishes us. And he strengthens us. And he guides us. And he protects us. And he causes us to be green even in the midst of a drought. How many of y'all have experienced this? Man, your world has been rocked either through news, tragedy. Just something shook you. Maybe it was a doctor's report. I don't know. I mean, your whole world just kind of got shook up. But you weren't nervous. You weren't anxious. You weren't worried. In fact, you had a sense of peace about you. And you're going through this storm and you're thinking, man, if I should be a nervous wreck right now, but I'm not. You know how that happens? It happens through the grace of God. He gives you that supernatural grace. He gives you that peace that passes all understanding. Why? Because you're rooted in Jesus. And when you're in Jesus, the roots go down by the stream of living water. And that water nourishes your soul, strengthens you, guides you, comforts you, leads you, protects you. And you can be in a drought, yet still have leaves that are green. Why? Because you're rooted in Jesus. Not so for the man or woman that's rooted in themselves or mankind. Because the rest of Psalm 1 says this, the wicked are not so, but they will be like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. He knows today. He knows your heart. He knows where you stand. He knows if you're rooted in man, yourself, this world's philosophies, other religious teachings, your own thought, or if you're rooted in Jesus. I'm telling you this morning, if you're not rooted in Jesus, on the day of judgment, you will not stand. You'll be cut off because you've attached yourself to the wrong root. And so this morning, if you don't know Christ and you need to be saved, I'd be saved today. I'd run down this aisle and I'd say, man, I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to quit trusting in myself. I need to quit trusting in man. I need to quit trusting in what these other people are saying. I need to trust in Jesus. And if you're a believer this morning and you've been rooted in Him during the invitation, would you give Him praise and glory? Man, would you just thank Him for saving you, for extending you that mercy? And maybe there's someone that's on your heart that doesn't know Christ, that needs to know Him, and that you just want to come and pray for them. Just be obedient. But whatever God's saying to your heart, because He's speaking, and if we'll listen and obey, man, and get lined up with Him, let God work in our lives. What do you think? Are you rooted in Jesus? Do you have deep roots? Our deep roots are in who? Jared, deep roots are in who? Brock, who? It's in Jesus. Right? Do you know Him? Let's pray. Father, we thank You. Thank You that we have an opportunity to call upon Your name and be rooted in the depth of Your love. Father, that we can be rooted, firmly rooted, in the saving work of Jesus and be saved and secure. Lord, if there's a man or a woman here today, they've never called upon You, and Lord, they're trusting in themselves, or they're evaluating their life by someone else, and they're counting on just them being a little bit better than someone else who claims to be a Christian. Lord, break that wall down. Cut that false root out today before it's too late. Father, may they come and receive Jesus. Those of us who know You, Lord, may we constantly give You thanks and praise. That, Lord, You are our depth and height and width. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. Let's come. You'll be saved today. Come. Come this morning.